Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for tuning in to the program. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today my guest is youth minister and author Jay Tucker, who has just published his first book, The Whole Youth Worker, Advice on Professional, Personal, and Physical Wellness from the Trenches. And this book has been just released on Loving Healing Press. Jay Tucker is a full-time youth minister in South Florida. He has been married to his wife, Kimberly, for 13 years, and together they have two children. Working with young people has always been Jay's life calling. He earned his bachelor's degree in elementary education and then spent 2 years teaching fifth grade. After teaching, he spent a year traveling the country as an educational, motivational speaker, and then entered the youth ministry full-time in 2001. The Whole Youth Worker is an insider's look at the Monday through Friday of youth ministry. In his book, he also talks about his own experiences with being a professional youth minister, as well as the important role that physical health plays in being the success you were called to be. And his website is betteryouthministry.com. So I'm just so happy to have Jay here on the program. Welcome, Jay.
Thanks for having me on. It's an honor, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm really interested in finding out how you actually got into the youth ministry in 2001, because that you weren't involved prior to that.
Well, it's a funny thing. I was traveling the country as a motivational speaker, like you said, and I was having a great time traveling around.
Was that on a religious motivational speaking circuit, that kind of thing?
It was an educational program. Basically, I was teaching study skills and organization to private schools and public schools as well across the country, having a great time, making decent money, and just really enjoying myself. And then 9/11 happened, and 2 weeks after 9/11, I found myself actually on a flight headed to Washington, D.C. On that flight, I began to reevaluate my career goals and, you know, decided right there basically that flying on an airplane wasn't going to be the way to make a living. So I headed home after that assignment, did a lot of soul searching and praying, and actually found a Methodist church that was about 3 minutes from our house that was looking for a youth pastor. So I got a resume together, and I submitted it and did an interview, and they ended up hiring me, a guy with absolutely no youth ministry experience.
Wow. It sounds like it was just meant to be.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
The pastor there was a great man, and he was looking to find the right person, not necessarily the person with, you know, the greatest pedigree and list of accomplishments. So it was a great situation.
So what was your spiritual background before that? Had you been in the church?
Yeah, I actually began attending church my junior year. I was invited to a youth ministry event at a local church, and met a great woman there, a great girl there, actually, and we ended up dating, and she became my wife, a few years later. Yeah. So that kind of, you know, the pretty girl thing kind of got me to stay at church. But while I was there, I, heard the message, and it really sunk in with me. And from that time on, I had the same struggles that a lot of people have, but just really felt a calling in my life to, you know, be in ministry and to work with young people. And I kind of ignored that calling, if you would call it, for a little while. I went and got a major that wasn't necessarily religious or spiritual. I got an education major. Mm-hmm. But my first job was in a Christian school, and I kind of thought that might appease God. You know, I'm working in a Christian school. I'm not really doing any youth pastoring, but I am working in a Christian setting.
Mm-hmm.
I really found out that wasn't what God had in store for my life. Went the route of being an educational speaker, and then, you know, like we said before, that kind of didn't work out. And so I decided one day, all right, God, I'm going to listen to you, and went to that little church, and here we are.
And there must have been skills, though, obviously, that you got from those other endeavors and the schooling that you're using today.
There are a lot of skills in the educational field and my years in college that I learned that translate very well. How to make a lesson plan, how to actually teach a group of young people. Even some of the training about how to work with parents and things like that really translate over to youth ministry. And the experience of actually going and talking in front of large groups prepared me for that as well. So, yeah, there was a lot of life training, a lot of training in life that I got mm-hmm. for the ministry that I, you know, really didn't go to seminary to receive.
Mm-hmm. So tell us exactly what the youth ministry entails, what it's all about, and then what the main role of a youth worker or youth minister is.
Oh, there are a lot of roles. Your main goal as a youth minister is to teach the Word of God to young people in your church. Most churches do have some sort of youth program. And the goal is to basically teach the message on a level that the young people there can better understand. It's our goal to make the gospel more appealing. Sometimes that's done with music that's more in their
more modern.
Their level, more modern,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes usually the messages are a lot shorter. But there's more of a group and socializing aspect involved in youth ministry. It really is more of a hands-on type of experience that you'll receive in youth ministry than you're going to receive, going to a regular Sunday morning worship service. And I think it's that socialization, that feeling of belonging mm-hmm. to something that's safe, that really appeals to young people. So, but the duties involved, I mean, there's many. I mean, from being obviously the guy that's up there preaching the message every week to being the bus driver when you go to an event, cooking food. I've had a lot of duties in my career that really weren't in the job description, everything from running the sound booth for church services to counseling to being with young people when they're going through hard times to showing up at, ball games during the week, football games, baseball games, basketball games, just
so
be there in a support role.
You're there wherever you're needed, really.
Wherever I'm needed, wherever I'm called. And sometimes I found myself to be there when I'm not needed, too.
So. Well, what capacity are you serving within the ministry now? What age groups are you dealing with?
I work with 6th grade through 12th grade, actually,
mm-hmm.
Middle schoolers and high schoolers. I also work with college kids as well, and I find myself working with parents, too. I mean, that's part of the ministry aspect that many people don't realize when they get into the profession. Working with parents is part of it. It's, usually when I tell people what I do, you say I'm a family minister rather than just a youth minister because when you say youth, it kind of indicates to people you only work with young kids and you work with people all over the age group.
So when you're working with family members, is there a common reason that the whole family gets involved or are you kind of doing family counseling or what's the typical reasons for having the family there?
Well, I found that in order for anything you teach to stick, it needs to be reinforced in the home.
By the parents, okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So, I won't sit down usually with a parent to do one-on-one counseling. That is usually left to a senior pastor or an associate pastor to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been times when I've gone to a house or I've had a phone call and the discussion was, what do we do about my child? And then, because we've built a relationship, that conversation has turned into, I'm having problems myself dealing with this or dealing with that. And so those are the times that you kind of put on the hat of being kind of a counselor, and it happens quite a bit.
Yeah. So interesting. Do you find that there is a particular youth group that is more challenging to work with than others?
Well, it depends on who you are. I mean, everybody has different strengths.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, I find middle schoolers more challenging than high schoolers, and that's because it really is a challenge to bring the complicated message of the Church of God down to a level where it's simple enough for kids to understand, but yet not so simple that you're watering down what you're trying to say. That's a challenge. I've been doing this for a few years now, and it's still a challenge to me every day. Every time I develop any kind of curriculum or any kind of lesson, I have to make sure that what I'm saying is on that level that's going to be understood, but yet not so basic that I'm missing the point that the Bible was trying to make.
Mm-hmm. So where, tell us now where the idea for this book came about. I mean, it's very unique. You're using this whole concept of whole. And so I'd like to know what that means, the whole youth worker. So tell us a little more about this project.
Well, if you go into your bookstore, you'll see all kinds of books dedicated to whole segments of population. You know, you can, you know, the self-help books, but there's nothing out there that I found that was actually talking to youth pastors on that level. There are a lot of great theological books. There are a lot of great professional helps that have lesson plans and games to use with your group, but nothing that I found that really addressed the youth worker as a person. Nothing that acknowledged that when they leave the office or when the lock-in's over or when, you know, the youth event is over, that they still, you know, exist. So what I wanted to do is take some of the things in my life, some of the things that have helped me get through tough times, some of the things that have helped make me a better youth worker, and even some of the things, some of the mistakes that I've made, and try to put that into book form and try to offer that to other youth workers who may be going through some of the same things. The whole thing, you know, the whole youth worker concept to me is really wrapped up or maybe emphasized by the addition of taking care of yourself physically, making time for yourself, eating well, exercising, things like that. Those are things that ministry professionals, by and large, overlook. It's not because we're lazy or because, you know, we're not motivated. It's basically because we spend so much time worrying about others, making other people our number one priority, that we neglect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talk about burnout, and this is where burnout comes from, if you're not looking after yourself.
Absolutely. It is an alarming statistic, and I read it a few years ago, and I wouldn't be surprised if the rate is even higher, but the average youth worker, I believe, when I read this a couple years ago, lasts 18 months in the profession.
That's it?
Yeah.
And
you know, on the outside, you think, oh, all you're doing is you're playing with teenagers. You only work once a week.
Yeah, right.
How is that a high burnout job? And when you get into it, understand that you're always on call.
Mm-hmm.
I've had times in my ministry where I've had calls at 1 and 2 in the morning because the kid was having problems and didn't have anybody else to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a common thing. And if you talk to a youth minister that's done this for any amount of time, they'll tell you, oh my gosh, you know, the thought I had about the job before I got in and what I know is the truth now are completely different.
Mm-hmm, completely different. And then not only that, I mean, you're kind of 24/7 in that role, and then you've got family and you have your own kids, you know, and then your own health, and so it's a very weighty job.
It surely is. In one of the chapters in the book, I talk about trying to balance your profession and your family life, and I hopefully convey the message that I am by no means perfect when it comes to this. In fact, you know, I make mistakes every single day. There's one line in my book that I hope your viewers to your website won't be offended at, but it's just kind of part of the way my humor and the way I'm made up. But the line says something like, you know, by no means am I super dad. In fact, there are times when I fall short of being super crappy dad. That's just kind of the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm. You do add a lot of humor to your book, don't you?
It's part of my personality, and I think it really is at the core of most anybody that works with young people.
Yeah.
If you're going to be successful, you have to be able to laugh at yourself and laugh with your kids.
Mm-hmm. And that's probably a big aspect of why you've been in this field for as long as you have and that you're still going strong at it.
Yeah, because the bottom line, basically, I'm a big goofball that's gotten really lucky in life.
No. Kids respond so well to that. Yeah.
No, but the sense of humor is important. I think it's important in life in general, in all walks of life, not just ministry. But I think it's important for CPAs and, you know, accountants and even the President of the United States to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah, there we go. So why do you think that this wholeness model isn't taught in the youth ministry?
Well, I think that it's just a new thought. I think that we take the whole teaching of put others before yourself, that concept, I think we take it and misinterpret it, actually. Our job is to make sure others are cared for. And I think that is such an all-encompassing and difficult task to do. I think that, we just put, the ministers and the workers to the side, hoping that they did what they need on a personal level, but we haven't really figured out how to teach it yet, how to include it in our training. And it's so important. If we're going to reverse the trend of burnout and we're going to reverse the trend of some of the negative things we hear about pastors and the news, we're going to need to begin to address this idea of wholeness.
Yeah. Well, and you are a pioneer, obviously, putting this book out. I don't know that there is any book like this out there on shelves. So this is a real path-cutting endeavor for you.
I appreciate you saying that. I am the Lewis and Clark of whoopee cushions and really goofy games.
There we go. So what are, at this point, the supports that are there for youth ministers? Are there any? There must be.
There are a number of professional supports. I mean, there are websites, there are publications that will help you professionally. In terms of how you're doing spiritually, it really is up to your church, and it's up to, hopefully, the people that are in this profession work for good churches and good pastors and good congregations that understand that the youth worker needs to be taken care of. One of the things that I stress in my book is that the need to make sure you get at least one day off a week, and to remember that Sunday, even though it's a weekend day, isn't necessarily a day off. You're working. I've had people in my congregations come to me, not many, but some, say, you know what, well, Sunday's a day off. I don't know why you're taking, another day off in the week. You've got Saturday and Sunday. Then I explain to them, well, two of my Sundays a month on average are spent with young people. And then Sunday, I'm here, which is great. I would be at church somewhere anyway. But the difference is I don't have really the choice of choosing where to go on Sunday. I have to be here. Mm-hmm. So anytime you don't have a choice, it's work.
Yeah, so don't feel guilty by taking a day off during the week.
You definitely can't, because you need the time to recharge and to refuel for the upcoming week.
Mm-hmm. And, you talk about youth ministers having to really be conscious of taking care of their spiritual health. And this is where that emotional strength comes from. And, it's interesting because, I think that we typically wouldn't think the youth minister would really have to even be concerned with their spiritual health because, they're around it all the time, but they really do.
There's a big difference when it comes to giving spiritual, advice and receiving it. If you're going to give it, you need to be to the point in your life where you're overflowing, where you have enough to give. I've talked to single moms and people who are just, burning the candle at both ends, and it's the same kind of deal. They give so much of themselves to others that when they fail to take time for themselves or recharge themselves, they find that sooner or later they're going to burn out. They're going to come to the point where they just don't have anything else to give.
Yeah.
It happens on the ministry level all the time.
So on those days off for you, how do you recharge?
I recharge by, I like to, after I get the kids to school, I like to come home and maybe spend some time in the Bible or spend some time reading things that, bring me peace. I try not to spend a lot of time answering email or doing anything work-related. I may take a nap. I enjoy cooking and things like that, so I may, think about whatever wonderful thing I'm going to make that night for dinner. But, anything I can do to really take my mind off of what's facing me the next week is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Now, how important is physical health, exercise, that whole end of the spectrum? How important is that for you and keeping your state of mind?
I tell you what, the older I get, the more it becomes necessary, because if your job is working with young people, they work on a different time schedule than the rest of the world, and they work on a different activity level and a different speed than the rest of the world, too. So in order to be effective, you're going to have to be able to at least keep up, if not stay ahead. That happens, when you take care of yourself, when you eat the right foods, when you're exercising. Now, I'm not talking, you don't have to be in marathon runner shape or anything like that, but we have to remember that the metabolisms that we have as adults aren't the same ones as, you know, that our young people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can eat pizza and candy and drink all the soda and still, you know, stay, you know, skinny as a rail. We, on the other hand, tend to put on weight when we just look at those things.
Yeah, right.
So it's important that we understand that and understand that we can't eat like them, but we need to be able to still be with them and still be there for the fun times, things like that. I've attended a lot of national conferences and things like that for youth ministry, and what I've noticed is that youth ministers tend to be physically unhealthy. Not everybody, but a lot of us. And it's because, you know, we spend all of our time with teenagers, and we tend to eat like them. We tend to keep the same schedule. You know, we tend to be up late, and so, you know, we're eating late, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to take care of yourself and have the, you know, foundation, the basics of health and nutrition.
And that's a great way to be a role model to children, you know, as a healthy, here's a healthy adult, this is my youth minister, you know, you're a mentor. So, you know, even though they can maybe eat things that as an adult you can't, I mean, I think we need role models like that.
Well, yeah, I think it's time that we begin to look at our physical health as an act of worship. You know, it's not enough just to say, you know, eat better so that you're going to be better professionally. I really do think that everything we do should be a gift to God.
Mm.
And I think we need to look at taking care of ourselves physically as an act of worship and not just something we do so that we can live a little longer or do better in our jobs, you know.
That's such a good point. You know, our body really, really is a temple. And, you know, even when you just as you mentioned, kids, you know, they may not eat very well. They can get away with eating junk food, but still, it isn't necessarily good for them. Just because they can and their bodies can metabolize it doesn't mean that it's healthy for them.
Definitely. And
yeah.
There have been times, and this has only been going on with me personally for a couple of years of really starting to pay attention to what I eat and how I exercise. But there have been opportunities when, you know, kids have, you know, definitely noticed, wow, you know, Jay, you're in better shape than you've ever been in, and so what are you doing? And I get to share with them, well, you know, now I'm working out four times a week, and I'm eating better, and, you know, they've listened to that, and there are kids who I've actually seen in the gym, you know, and they're working out, and there are some of my youth group kids come in, and they've begun, you know, exercising and things like that, so it's rewarding.
Oh, you're an inspiration. That's great.
I don't know if it's me being the inspiration or the fact that they've noticed the opposite sex. That's an inspiration, but whatever works.
Right, that's a great motivator too, but I'm sure that you have something to do with it as well.
And we'll be back. More Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Jay Tucker. He is the author of The Whole Youth Worker, and you can find out more about Jay through his website, betteryouthministry.com. So let's talk about the book and the sections that you've actually split the Whole Youth Worker up in. There's three sections?
Yes.
Tell us about them.
The first section is working with your group,
okay.
And basically we're talking about the nuts and bolts of youth ministry, the basics. You're not going to get this book, you're not going to find any real deep theological truths, you know, but mm-hmm. what you will find is advice that I think every youth worker can use. Things like, you know, being a professional in the office. You know, nobody talks about that. That's just something you're supposed to pick up as you go. Well, if you're doing that, you're not as effective as you could be from the start. You know, a lot of people don't have seminary training. How do they do that? How do they go about, you know, being a, you know, a good youth worker without that seminary training?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do a lock-in? You know, one of those all-night things. You know, we have to do them as youth workers. How do you pull one off? What happens when people in your congregation, you know, criticize you? How do you deal with that? Even, mm-hmm. you know, seniors. Something, a chapter in my book called Senioritis, is how to deal with your senior students. How do you deal with that kid that used to, you know, count the hours until youth ministry? What do you do when that kid turns into the senior that is too cool to be around anymore? How do you deal with that? The second part is working with the church community. What to do in a board meeting? Oh my gosh, no one ever told me I would have to go to so many meetings as a worker. You know, nobody ever said to me, "Hey, you're gonna have to be professional Monday through Friday." You know.
I think there's a reason they don't tell you that up front.
They don't want to see us running with our heads on fire or anything. But you know, my experience is about being a good board meeting player, dealing with criticisms, how to make whatever space you get work for you. I've had the experience everywhere from having an entire house on a church property be dedicated to our youth, to the experience of having basically a closet being dedicated to the youth.
Mm.
I share my experiences on how to make whatever space you get work for your youth group. How to be parent-friendly, how to involve parents. A lot of times parents are so busy that the most involved they get is dropping their kids off and picking them up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We still need to make sure parents know what's going on in the groups. And the final section is treating your body as a temple, as you said.
Mm.
My advice on what I've learned about health and fitness and how it, you know, works with this career. I did some research on the most popular fast food franchises in the country. And what I wanted to do was find those menu items that were 300 calories or less,
okay.
so that when you're on the road with your group, you can still eat as healthily as you can without, you know, having to sit on your hands and watch them eat. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So there's a menu guide in the book that actually tells you this is what you should eat when you go to McDonald's or Burger King or wherever you go.
That is such practical information.
And there's even an exercise routine that I've put in there of five basic exercises that you can do wherever you're at. You're on a youth group trip in a hotel room, or you're sleeping in a church gym, wherever you're at, there's a workout in there you can do. You don't need equipment. You don't need a lot of room.
Mm-hmm. And the three sections, these three aspects really make up the whole wholeness model.
Yes, yeah. They do.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the book, once you read the entire text, it comes together and it makes sense. I know I've talked to people that were like, how does exercise and eating right, what does that have to do with being a youth minister? Well, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, what does it have to do with being a person in general? You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, why can't you just eat anything you want and you know, not exercise and still be healthy? Well, you can't. Well,
in any position.
Exactly. So this is, we've taken that advice that we all should follow, and I've tried to apply it to the youth ministry profession and how you can work that advice into this lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, any time that you're in a role or a position where you have to be on all the time like that, I mean, your own personal health is of the utmost importance. It's great that you've included that in this book. Now, I understand that this is really kind of a non-denominational type of a book.
Yeah, it really is. It can be used by any, you know, a person in any denominational setting.
Mm-hmm.
Even I don't even think you need necessarily to be a church youth worker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're working for the YMCA or you're just working for an after-school program. There's advice in there that will translate to what you're doing. Like I said, there are enough theological books out there that do a great job of you know, making their points. I wanted to write something that talks to us as youth workers, that deals with what we have in common rather than you know, what we don't have in common.
So what are your peers? What do they have to say about this book?
I've been lucky with some really great reviews, and people that have bothered, you know, that have taken the time to read the book have really enjoyed it. I've had youth workers read it. I've had pastors read it. I've even had parents read it. And then the one thing that they all say about it is that there are things in there that I knew, but I've forgotten, you know. Mm. And this was written in such a way that it was enjoyable to read, and it was a very easy read. My goal was not to be overly wordy or overly technical, but to give people practical advice mm-hmm. on youth ministry. So I think that if you're a pastor and you want to know more about what your youth minister's life is about, this would be a great book. If you're a brand new youth worker and you're really not sure about what lies ahead, great book. If you're a parent and you have a kid in a youth ministry somewhere and you just want to know more about youth ministry in general, I think this is a book that will help you do that. And it's written on a level that you don't have to have a seminary degree to understand it.
That's fantastic. Now, is there something like a senior youth minister that would be a mentor for you?
I have a great friend who's been in youth ministry for about 25 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't go to seminary myself, but my training came through, you know, doing kind of an internship with this great youth pastor named Jerry Gardner. And basically what he did is he opened his life up to me, befriended me, let me come to the office to see what he did on a daily basis. He let me jump in when he felt I was ready, teaching Sunday school and being on different boards and different planning committees. He really let me see every aspect of youth ministry, and I got to learn under him. And really, he is probably, if I can point to a human being and say this is a person who's responsible for where I am in ministry, it would be him. So I think it's important for every youth worker, whatever level they're on, to find a person like that, that, you know, has the authority to say, hey, you've missed the mark here, or, you know what, I really think you're doing a good job over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's vitally important.
And if they don't have that, or until they find that, have a look at your book. I mean, you've got so much advice in here. You could be considered a senior youth minister, I think, at this point.
So I'm going to take that as a compliment, not as a, hey, you're getting old there, buddy. But
no,
I think it would be helpful in that situation. And I've I kind of took inspiration from my friend and my mentor, you know, and his approach. I think the book's written in a style that will come across as being friendly and not being preachy. So, yeah, I really hadn't thought about it that way. But, yeah, I think that works, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, how involved does the youth ministry and youth ministers, how involved are they with the politics of the church and the administration?
It is the one part of the job that if I could change it right now by snapping my fingers, I would. Unfortunately, the church is a business.
Mm-hmm.
It has budgets to meet. It has timelines to meet, and it has people to make happy. And a lot of times, the overall purpose gets lost in the political stuff. It's just a sad truth. It's not a cut down of the church. It's really more of a reality check on the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that you find out when you become a youth worker, a paid church staff member, about the church that maybe you didn't want to know. That, you know, that pastor who is so, you know, friendly and so warm and caring on Sunday mornings turns into the boss Monday through Friday. And it's difficult at first to see the pastor in that role. You know, those great people in your congregation that are so, you know, warm and friendly on Sunday mornings, if they're on church boards, their job is to evaluate you and make sure that, you know, the business part of the church is running smoothly. That's not always an easy transition to make.
Do you think that there's a certain level of disillusionment with the youth minister when they first get involved?
I think definitely if you're not prepared for it, there is.
Mm-hmm.
If you come into this thinking that this is going to be, you know, summer camp, you're gonna be disillusioned very quickly. And unfortunately, I think seminaries and Bible schools do a great job of training men and women theologically, but unfortunately I don't think they prepare them adequately enough for the realities, the political side, the kind of the underbelly of what they're going to see every day. And it really is a shocking truth when you get, when it hits you in the face for the first time.
I guess it just, you know, having that kind of an experience right from the get-go would really, I don't know, make one have to really realize who the boss is. You know, that it's not necessarily just the church, you know, but who's the higher boss, and keep that as the vision.
You need to understand that God is ultimately, you know, the big boss.
Yeah.
You know, your main goal is to make sure that you're that you're doing his will and that you're, what you're doing professionally is pleasing to him.
Yeah.
But also understand that you've got a senior pastor, you've got church boards, you've got congregation members, you have parents. You know, you've got a whole set of bosses there that we may not think of as bosses.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And everyone's got to be kept happy in some ways, I guess.
Yeah, and it's impossible, as you know, in life,
it's
impossible to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
So the purpose, you know, the goal is to make sure that you have a plan and that your church has a plan and that they're helping you get that plan put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, understanding that they're going to be mistakes and they're going to be people that feel like their child isn't being ministered to the right way, or there are going to be groups in your church that think the youth isn't involved in this area as they should be. That's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of life, and that's part of being a professional that we all have to learn.
Mm-hmm. So how is the youth ministry being affected at this time by all the change we're seeing with the economy, you know, families in upheaval? What's happening right now?
It's just affecting everybody. Churches all over this country, probably all over the world as well, are reevaluating how they're spending their money. Many churches are not meeting their budgets. You know, the original budgets that included a full-time youth worker. Many of the churches aren't meeting those budgets. So what's happening is, you know, great, talented men and women are being, you know, put to part-time, or their positions are being eliminated, and they're expecting parents or volunteers or people that have just, you know, gotten out of college who don't have the same salary requirements as, you know, I do, you know, being my age and, you know, position in life, just because they need to do that to make ends meet with the budgets in the churches. So it's even more critical at this time that churches find economical ways to train those people, you know, in those youth worker positions. Because without the training, without, you know, that professional improvement, we're going to find that our youth ministry suffers. We're going to find that, you know, kids simply don't want to come because, you know, the students in your group are smart enough, they're savvy enough to tell the difference between what's a good program and what's something that's just being slapped together and done by people that aren't qualified.
No, that's unfortunate because it ends up that maybe some of the people that really had that genuine calling are let go, and then, you know, people that don't necessarily have that calling are coming in to replace those positions.
Right, and, you know, unfortunately we're in a situation with the economy that I think, you know, the job's going to go to the lowest bidder in some places, and, you know, that's not, you know, frequently that's not going to be the best situation. So it's important that we train whoever we have in those positions. You know, in the past when the economy was better, our churches were doing a little better, you know, church would send me to maybe a week-long conference somewhere in the country where, you know, they'd pay for my hotel room, they'd pay for, you know, the cost of the function, they'd pay for travel, everything that was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are over for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so where do we get that training? I think youth workers need to read everything they can get their hands on.
Yeah.
And hopefully this book will be on that list.
Oh, this would be high on that list. I mean, with what you have in here, I mean, this is crucial information.
When I began the book, we were in a lot better economic situation. So it's rewarding to see that the way the world has changed, this book has become more relevant.
Are you seeing more people in the church or less?
You know, we're actually seeing more people in the church.
I would think so.
When times get tough, people tend to remember that, you know what, God's there, and he's there for us to lean on. The problem is that, you know,
the donations aren't reflecting
that. Things like that aren't the same. So
while
you may go in Sunday and see every seat in the house filled, the reality is most churches aren't making enough money to keep the lights on, let alone pay everybody and, you know, do the programs that they need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So is this going to be your one and only book, or do you see any more in the future?
I really have enjoyed this experience of writing. I'm not sure if another youth ministry book's in the offering because, you know, I feel like I've said everything I could possibly say about the subject. You know, when you sit down and write a book, it's it really does blow your mind how much goes into the process.
Oh, yes.
But I do love writing, and I always have. So I'm going to be doing a series of children's books down the road. When I was in college studying to be an educator, one of the children's lit classes we took, we did a unit on Dr. Seuss. That style of writing and that rhythmic style and that silliness really, really appealed to me. So I began practicing and messing around stories and, you know, rhyming stories and things like that. So next year I've got something coming out with Loving Healing Press that will be in the children's genre that I'm looking forward to.
That's great. On a spiritual theme?
It is actually a book about a frog named Ferdinand,
mm-hmm.
written in Dr. Seuss style of rhyme. And it's about potty training.
Oh, that's great.
I took my experiences with our son, Will, who's 4 years old, and he's still going through that process. And I kind of, you know, wrote a story based on that. And, you know, I know that we've struggled with potty training, so I figured there's been other people in the world that are struggling with the same thing. So we've created a story, and I've got an amazing illustrator who's just doing amazing work with the story. And, you know, we've put together a Dr. Seuss-style story starring Ferdinand the Frog about potty training, and we'll probably see that next summer.
That's fantastic. That's great. Well, that's a completely different kind of a book than this that you put out here. How long did it take you to write The Whole Youth Worker?
The whole process took me a year and a half. I actually, when I sat down to write, I wasn't trying to write a book. I was in a position where I was let go from a church because of budget issues. And it was the first time in my entire life I'd ever been let go, had a job terminated where it wasn't on my terms. First time it ever happened, and it was quite an ego blow, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to sit down, and I just wanted to write things that I knew about this profession. Basically, I was trying to convince myself that I still knew what I was doing, that I was still worthy of being a youth minister.
Mm-hmm.
That writing turned into me pretty much spilling out everything that I could think of about youth ministry, and it turned into this book.
Wow. Isn't that amazing the way it started, you know, without the full intention that you were going to write this as a book?
I had researched it before because, I was, you know, the sports editor for my high school paper, things like that. I've done writing, but when it came down to the discipline of sitting down to write a book, that was just something that I knew I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
But when I sat down and did it a little by little and understood that there wasn't a time limit on it, I didn't have to have the book done in, 4 months. I didn't have a publisher at the time. So the constraints of, I need to see your completed manuscripts in 6 months wasn't there. So I sat down and wrote this book, took my time with it, and, it was therapeutic.
You know, even a year and a half, I mean, you say you took your time with it. That's pretty quick, really.
I think when you're writing about what you know, and basically, I was writing, this book's about my life, so mm-hmm. it came very easily. Folks that write fiction, they write novels, those people just amaze me because their mind has to be on all the time. They're constantly creating new scenes and new scenarios.
Mm. And years and years of that.
Years and years of that, yeah. I think if it would have taken any longer, my discipline levels and my level of, the need for me to find something to do, something new to do all the time would have taken over. And, this would probably just remain on my hard drive on my computer. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're glad it didn't. Okay, so your website, betteryouthministry.com. Now, your book can be purchased through your website?
It can be purchased through the website. There are links there where you can purchase it directly through Loving Healing Press.
Okay.
There's also links there where you can purchase it through Amazon and through Barnes & Noble online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's available in at least 3 different outlets. I know some people, they may not have heard of Loving Healing, or they don't trust a website, some guy put together, but they will trust Amazon or they will trust Barnes & Noble, so we put those options there as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I know Loving Healing is definitely a reputable publisher, so
either
way they go, it's going to be great. And then I'm sure it can be ordered through local booksellers as well.
Yeah, you can walk into your local bookstore, and if they carry books that Ingram distributes, they can go in and ask for the title, the book number will be there, and they should be able to get it within a few weeks.
Great. Yeah, I'm about local bookstores, so I wanted to make that little plug as well.
Yeah, anytime you can go and help a local
yes.
especially
locally.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
these times we're in,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, Jay, it's been great talking with you today. We've just filled up our time. You've been such a pleasure to talk with, and your book is just fantastic. I mean, I've never heard of anything like it, so I think you're really, really onto something here.
I appreciate the time. It was a lot of fun, and wow, it feels like we just started talking.
I know, it goes by fast. Was there anything that you didn't get to share with our audience that you wanted to?
I just want to thank everybody that takes the time to look into the book. Even if they don't buy the book, the fact that they are thinking towards youth ministry, is really a good thing, and I just appreciate that people are doing that.
Yeah. Well, the youth are our future.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jay, you take care. I hope to talk with you again.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, listeners, that's been Jay Tucker. His latest book, or his new book, The Whole Youth Worker, is out now, and it's out on Loving Healing Press. His website is betteryouthministry.com, and as mentioned, his book can be purchased through online and local booksellers, so do check it out. I hope you have enjoyed this interview. Jay was a great, great guest, and I just want to thank you for tuning into the program today. So I'm Juanita Watson, and I will see you next time.